Lord, just use these simple words of mine that they might be used to your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I was listening to a play on the radio this week, and it was about the crucifixion, and in particular, it was about Barabbas. And we mentioned this on Thursday, didn't we, that the people chose Barabbas to be freed instead of Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross that would have been for Barabbas and took his place. But this was a play, and it sort of used the situation of Barabbas. And they used some fantastic words that stuck with me. The jailer went to free Barabbas, took his chains off, and said, "You're free." He said, "What do you mean I'm free?" He said, "The people have chosen Jesus, and you've been set free, and he's going to die." And Barabbas said, "Do you mean that Jesus is going to die for me and set me free?" Oh, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Do you mean that Jesus is going to die for me and set me free? And what's that mean for us too? That Jesus went to that cross for me, for you. Why? To set us free. Praise God. It struck me, you know, this was on Premier Praise, that Jesus would die, take the place of Barabbas to set him free. And as a consequence of that freedom, what do we have? We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's what I want to talk about today. We started to talk about this a little bit on Thursday, that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory because Jesus has set us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise his wonderful name. Well, today is bonfire night, and there'll be thousands of people out there gathering around bonfires. They'll be excited to see the fire. They'll be excited to see the fireworks. And many will not have a thought of God in their minds at all. Won't enter their head that it's a Sunday or anything else about God. They'll just be interested in going about doing their own thing, interested in temporary things of this world. And similarly, a few days ago it was Halloween, celebration of evil. Can you understand why people celebrate evil on Halloween? I just don't understand it, but they do. And they do that, and they celebrate that time of evil without a thought of God. In the Bible, we read about Noah, and in Noah's day, it said the people were going around about on their business, doing whatever they would do, giving in marriage, and so on and so forth, without a thought of God. Without a thought of God. And it also says that in their hearts was evil. Their hearts were evil. And as a consequence of that, the flood came. In the New Testament, it says that the Lord will be coming back, and it will be as the time of Noah, that the world would be full of evil, with no or little thought of God. And that's right now. That is how and where we are. You walk around the world, Mike has just been saying about it, meeting people in town who, but for the fact that they are there speaking of God, would never have a thought of God. We don't know the hour of the day when he will return. He comes as a thief in the night, but it's time for us to be ready. Always be ready, expectant, eager for the time that the Lord will return, and that we in the meantime are making disciples, chasing people to make them disciples for Jesus. It's also true to say that the world is in a real mess, isn't it? Wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters, pandemics, earthquakes. Sin abounds in every quarter. What's going on in the world? It's the devil rampaging like a roaring lion. Always remember, he's not a lion. He just pretends to be. He's rampaging around like a roaring lion, whom he may devour. And friends, one of my favorite phrases, it's time for us to stand firm. Time for us to stand firm. Wars, rumors of wars, disasters, as I say, abound in every quarter. Yet, friends, as children of God, we need not worry. We need not worry. We've got somebody on our side. We've got God on our side. We are his children, born again of the Spirit of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And our destiny is secure. Our home is in glory. Forever to be with Jesus and to be with those who have gone before. David and I were talking about that as we came today. His wife's in glory talking to mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful. That is our destiny. That's where we're going. God is on our side. And we are surrounded by a host of angels who are looking after us. I believe that, you know, the Lord makes sure that we are looked after. Yes, we might have trouble in the world, but we've got somebody with us, the Lord. Always with us. I have a quote. A guy called John MacArthur. I don't know if you've heard of John MacArthur. He's a pastor in the United States and a broadcaster on the radio. Scripture repeatedly makes it clear that heaven is a realm of unsurpassed joy, unfading glory, undiminished bliss, unlimited delights, unending pleasures. And the Bible says we can't actually imagine what it's going to be like when we get to glory. It is beyond our human comprehension. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fabulous. And all those descriptive words are not enough to say exactly what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we see the Lord and we're in his presence and we with him will have fun. Yes, we'll praise him. Yes, we'll glorify him. But we will have such a wonderful time. You know, that's to come. Rob and I went to a meeting last night and the bloke was preaching, who was excellent, said, it's no good looking back at the past. And it's not necessarily always good just to look for the future. He said, you should have the joy of the Lord now. And we do. We have the joy of the Lord. Yes, sometimes we think about the things of the past, but they've gone. David said on social media this week that the slate has not been wiped clean. The slate is a new one. That's right. And this guy said something very similar last night, didn't he, Rob? That old things have passed away. All things are new. And when we get to heaven, what's in? The Lord will say, what's in? Welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we were having a laugh about this, you know. We weren't expecting the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful Methodist. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful Pentecostal. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful member of the Church of England. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, And that is why we need to stand firm. Whether the Lord comes tomorrow or in 1,000 years, however long it is, we need to stand firm on the gospel of Jesus and tell people about the gospel of Jesus. Because it's their destiny too that's our responsibility. You know, it's our responsibility to tell them. The Lord said, I have all authority and therefore I send you to make disciples. On his authority we go and we must do it. That is our responsibility. When we get to heaven, it's like the wedding of Cana, isn't it? Because the master of the wedding said, you have kept the good wine until now. Instead of serving the good wine at the beginning and then the rubbish stuff at the end, they served the good wine, the wine that Jesus had made from water. And when we get to heaven, the best is yet to come. Praise God. Beyond our imagination, beyond what we can understand, but friends, we should be experiencing that joy of the Lord now, irrespective of what's happening in the world. Yes, of course, we're concerned about things that are happening in Israel. Yes, of course, we're concerned about the things that are happening in the Ukraine. Yes, of course, we're worried about things that happen. But the joy of the Lord is embedded in here. It's not about what's happening out there. It's not about being happy. It's about the joy of the Lord that's embedded in us. Irrespective of what happens in our life, whether we go through issues of major loss, whatever happens to us, the joy of the Lord is there and stays there because the Holy Spirit is there. And we have that joy within us. And praise God, it's there to stay as long as we stand firm. Our destiny, forever to be with the Lord, to be with those who have gone before, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3, where we touched on Thursday. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our destiny. Where are we going? All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too. We had some discussion about points of doctrine on Thursday. It doesn't matter, you know. We're children of God. Little nuances, little beliefs, little issues like that. Doesn't matter. God will make it clear to you in the fullness of time. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. What have we already attained? The salvation, the forgiveness, the love of God. That's what we need to boast in. God forbid that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my Lord, what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, said Paul, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live in enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The point is, the people of the world not focused on God. They haven't a care for God. Yet their destiny, it says in black and white, their destiny is destruction. And we have a responsibility towards them. And similarly, we have a responsibility to be eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we should live every day as though the Lord is coming tomorrow. Don't be caught out. Have your lamps trimmed, full of oil, full of the Holy Spirit, ready and waiting. And it doesn't matter whether the Lord comes tomorrow or in 1,000 years. For us now, in the joy of the Lord, we need to be ready. That passage tells us that we should forget what's behind us. Old has passed away, all has become new. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's gone. Our sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Praise God. So, you know, sometimes we can look back and say, oh, the things I've been through, oh, terrible. The things I've done, oh, terrible. It's gone. You can't change it. It's forgotten. A new slate. What you say, David? Absolutely, a new slate. So don't focus on yesterday. Yes, you've sought for forgiveness. Yes, you've repented of those ways. And we're washed in the blood of Jesus, made anew. That passage says we're straining for what's ahead. Our eternal destiny. Yes, we're looking forward to that eagerly. Lord, we'll be with you in your presence. Great, fantastic. But we're also in the presence of God now. He's here this afternoon with us. He's here when you're going home. He'll be with you this evening when you get home. Tomorrow morning when you go off to work or whatever you're doing. The Lord is with us. Praise his wonderful name. It says we should press on to the goal, to the prize which God, for which God has called us. The prize, that crown of glory that we can cast at his feet. How wonderful it will be when we get to heaven and the Lord welcomes us in, gives us a crown of glory, and we enter into the continuance of that joy unspeakable, the extension of the joy unspeakable that we have now, irrespective of what's happening in the world. We have it now, and when we get to glory, we'll have even more. Says we should live up to what we have already attained. One of the real joys that hits me every time is that we are sons and daughters of God. How wonderful. Who are we? Who are we? Yet, God has chosen us, chosen you, chosen me to be sons, daughters of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. How wonderful is that? It's almost beyond our understanding. Yet we can go along our daily lives, and whatever happens, we can say, we're adopted by the Spirit of the living God. And that adoption is a covenant that God will never take away. If we turn away, well, yes. But he'll chase us. He will go and find the sheep that's gone astray. He'll chase you until you come back. And if that happens, we know that he will go and look and bring you back, seek to bring you back. So from God's perspective, the fact that he has adopted you and made you his son, it's a covenant. And a covenant is undoable. You are always a child of God unless you choose to go a different way. And then it says, that passage says, we should learn from each other and see how each other live. Oh, so you're watching me, how I live. Oh, we should be like Jesus. We should seek to be more like Jesus, to learn more of him and be like him. And when there's a decision to be made, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this circumstance? We might have to stop and ask him. We might have to stop and pray, Lord, what should I do in these circumstances? Guide me, guard me, take me in the right direction, Lord. And as we are seeking him and drawing near to him, he will draw near to us and he will direct our paths. How wonderful. Sons, daughters of the living God, learning from one another, maybe correcting one another, putting it right, supporting one another. Family. We are the family of God. And that passage says there are many who are enemies of the cross, heading for destruction. People are just focusing on the here and now, temporal, temporary, just looking to earthly possessions, earthly relationship. What's on the telly? I need a new car. My house is not good enough, not earning enough money. You know, all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. That's the test. That's the requirement, to put God first. The cross is our focus. Or should I say, the Christ of the cross is our focus. What he did for you and for me on Calvary, where he stood in the place of Barabbas, where he stood in the place of sin for you and for me. The cross, the focus of our faith, because through that cross, through that death, Jesus opened the door, the veil rent in two from top to bottom, from heaven down, to allow us into the Holy of Holies, and we can come boldly into the presence of God, saying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. How wonderful, how precious, how glorious that we can come into the presence of God. But where are we who are children of God? Citizens of heaven, have you got your passport ready? Is it authorized? Is it stamped? I'm shortly going to Uganda on a mission in the new year. And I'm going to need your prayers and support on that. And I'll have to have my passport stamped. And I'll have to have a few injections. Not looking forward to them. Doesn't matter, but what we need is our passport into glory stamped and a fresh injection of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, fill me anew. Fill me anew. How wonderful. Citizens of heaven, eagerly awaiting the return of our Savior and the transformation, we will be like Jesus. So we'll all be 33 in a bit. Fighting fit. Isn't that wonderful? We will be like Jesus, made anew. And there and then we will be getting to know him even more. even more. We'll worship him in spirit and in truth. As we worship him now, we worship him in spirit and truth. But he'll be there. Be able to see him with our eyes. I really do believe that although, of course, we'll be worshipping and praising God, we'll also have great fun with the Lord. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Unbelievable. So, friends, we needn't worry about the events in the world. God's in control. Praise God. Climate change. Somewhere in the Bible it says the seasons are going to follow one after the other. Don't worry about it. He knows what's happening. We're his children. We have a glorious future. Be full of the joy of the Lord. Be content. The victory is already won. Praise God. You know, of course, we should have empathy for all these issues in the world, for people. We've seen some terrible things on the television. Some children in desperate circumstances. And we should do everything that we can to help in that, not least pray. We might not be able to do anything physically. In some cases, we may. Pray. But as for us, Ephesians 6, we have the armor of God around us. Put on the whole armor of God. Why have we got that armor of God? So that the wiles of the devil, those fiery darts mean nothing. And I'll say again, as the word says, we stand firm. Even in difficulty, we count it all joy. I'm reading Job at the moment. Ever so difficult to understand. Really difficult book. You go and look back and say, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you don't always understand it. But one thing he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the last. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I understood that bit. Praise God. And every one of you here understands that, I know, because you are children of God. And if the Lord is standing, so should we. We need to stand. And Job also speaks of rivers flowing with honey and cream. Honey and cream. Beautiful. You might not like honey. You might not like cream. But it's a symbol of great and positive things that are awaiting us when we get to glory. Things that should fill us with the joy of the Lord. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How wonderful. Not happiness, not sadness, not emotion, but that deep, deep-seated joy of the Lord. It's a state of being, the state of being that you're in. It is what we are. You know, we say God is love. What we should be is joy, full of joy. The essence of God within us. How wonderful. Turn back, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians, this time to chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 4, because this sums up what I've been saying. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. So that's about showing the example of how you live. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It tells us how to live. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what we want, that peace, that joy, that tranquility of God in our lives. We've heard it time and again, haven't we? It says, rejoice and rejoice some more. It says we should be gentle and that our gentleness should be seen. That we should not be anxious looking backwards at what we've done. It says that we should pray and put our requests together with our praise to the Lord. That we should be in God's unfathomable peace. And we should take on that lifestyle, truth, being noble, thinking about lovely things, admirable things, not thinking about evil things, things of the world. His excellence and praising God. And in return, we receive the peace of God. And all these things are evident in our lives. We trust that old is passed away. Our sinful nature is gone. That we have a desire for the things of God. That we want to assist in the population of heaven, populating heaven. Our interests even have changed. Just think about the things that you did before you were a Christian, before you were a disciple. And I guarantee that they are different now from what you used to do. Even your friends have changed. Your activities have certainly changed. And you have a complete new aspect of your life. Old things have passed away. All things become new. So that's why we rejoice and rejoice again. What makes us happy? What makes us joyful, rather, deeper than happiness? Well, his word. Matthew 13 and Luke 8, we read the parable of the sower. Some seed falls on good ground. Some falls on not so good ground. But that we should be making disciples. And what joy we have. As Mike was saying about some guys that they've seen in town recently, listening to the word of God, sowing the seed. There's a source of joy. His birth. Born homeless into a stable with nothing. This was God. Came into the world with nothing. And yet, he is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Lord of Lords. The Messiah. The woman at the well, John 4, she recognized who he was. A prophet, she called him. But she knew he was the Messiah. I've met the man, Christ Jesus. What else can give us joy? His miracles, his power. Some people say that this isn't an age for miracles. I tell you, it is an age for miracles. It is the Lord can still and does still heal and hold us together. in his time on earth, the people were delighted at the wonderful things he was doing. We should be delighted now at the things he's doing. We should count it all joy that his suffering and our suffering, just as we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has to come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening, but rejoice. Because we participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Yes, sometimes we suffer. Yes, sometimes we may be persecuted. But it's nothing compared to what Jesus did on that cross. And remember what David said a few weeks ago, we count it all joy. Praise God, count it all joy. So if we suffer, that should give us joy too. Matthew 28, he is risen. Hallelujah. More joy. Why seek you the living amongst the dead? He is alive and alive forevermore. What joy. What joy. His gospel, the gospel, by definition, good news. Acts 20, we read, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given to me of testifying to the good news of God's grace. God's grace, that love that's undeserved, is ours. What joy, what satisfaction we have, excuse me, in the Lord because of his grace. And there's more. His forgiveness. Yes, there's more, Anne. Excuse me. His forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So that's again us. His spirit, more joy. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. What a position we're in, guys, gals. It's just wonderful. The joy of the Lord that we should be rejoicing in, that we are his people. And in Peter we read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received his mercy, but now you have received his mercy. God's mercy for you and for me. And who were we? Dust. Dust. Nothing. But the grace and the love of God that he has given to us. He loved us even while we were yet sinners. He died for us. That love, wonderful. And then his glory. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. Peace with God. How wonderful it is that we as disciples, children of God, have been given this privilege, this wondrous privilege to have this joy, this life of fulfillment that we know Despite the fact that your motorbike breaks down, Rob. Despite the fact that the engine that you're working on, Mike, you can't get the bits. Seriously, despite the trauma that is occurring in the world. Do you remember the advert? We've talked about it before, the protection of the insurance around you. Do you remember Job, the devil, Satan saying to God, you've put a hedge about him. How wonderful. Wonderful. Let us revel. Let us revel in the joy and the peace of God. Let us continue to mature in the love of God. Grow deeper. I was talking to a guy this morning, a lovely Christian guy. And yet his knowledge and his experience of God is only ankle deep. We need to wade into the water, like it says in Ezekiel. Water to swim in. Get into the Word. Experience the joy of the Lord. Last thing at night, thank you, Lord. Wake up in the morning. Praise your name, Lord, for another day. And get stuck into it. Because, dear friends, that joy, that wonderful experience that we have now is just a foretaste of what is to come. Because we are the beloved children of God, because we are bought with such a price, the death of Jesus on that cross, what a price to pay that God should come and die. Why? Because of the joy that is set before him. That's us. He joys, experiences joy because of us. And he too is looking forward to that day, eagerly awaiting to be told by God the Father, go and fetch him. Bring my children home. And what a day of rejoicing that will be when we stand together with the Lord face to face in eternal joy with the Lord. God bless you all. Amen.